Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Friday. Hope you're staying dry. Looked outside. There's puddles everywhere in the parking lot here at the International Broadcast Center. At least my car is getting a free car wash. Looking on the bright side of life today. Welcome in. Happy Friday. We kick off local programming. Another football-heavy show. Spencer on Sports here with you as we start up things here for a Friday afternoon, the 23rd day of September, 2022. 319-366-1600. Talk and text line open for you here this afternoon. College football, NFL, baseball. Rumored halftime show performances for the Super Bowl. Whatever you got on your mind today, we'd love to hear from you as we get things going here this afternoon. Spencer Wagon, my name on Spencer on Sports here at KGYM, kicking off 4 hours of local programming. Got a great show for you today. Going to talk about, what didn't happen in the baseball world last night. Still no records, but tonight could be a big win for Apple TV Plus. We'll tell you why. I mean, you could figure out why. We've been talking about it all week. The national folks have been talking about it all week. Aaron Judge and Albert Pujols still chasing history when it comes to home run records. And, Apple TV Plus just so happens to have both the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Cardinals and the Dodgers tonight. Wouldn't it be the most baseball thing ever to have these two records get broken? The Judge hit 61, maybe even 62 tonight against Boston. And then later tonight, Pujols get to 699 and 700 possibly on Apple TV. Grow the game, they said. Yeah, do it on Apple TV. Now, full disclosure, I do have Apple TV at home, but not a lot of people do. Can't imagine, it's the most popular way to watch baseball. So, yeah, we'll get into that, get into where things stand, take a look at what happened on Thursday. With both Aaron Judge and Albert Pujols coming up in the program before we get out of here. Iowa baseball, their fall ball opener was yesterday, too. If you're looking for offense, go watch Rick Heller's squad in their exhibition contest this fall. We'll update you on what happened at Banks Field yesterday. Mississauga on the receiving end of offensive barrage for the Hawkeyes and Coach Heller's squad at the start of fall ball in Iowa City yesterday afternoon. Talk about that later on in the show. Get to the NFL game last night. Did you watch on Amazon Prime? Did you listen on KGYM? The Browns getting the win over the Steelers last night in Cleveland. We'll get reaction to the game last night from both sides of the coin. Take a look at what else is happening in the NFL. This weekend, some good matchups, including the Bills and the Dolphins. Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that in just a bit as well, but we are going to start with what we start with every Friday. It's called Who You Got? Who do you think is going to win the key college football matchups this weekend? Iowa fans, love to hear from you. What do you think is going to happen in Piscataway this weekend? What do you think is going to happen out in Ames if you're a Cyclone fan? Do they get the win over Baylor at home? And UNI fans, didn't forget about you. Panthers on the road at, Western Illinois this weekend? Do the Panthers pick up their first win of the season as they open up MVC play, or resume MVC play, I guess is what I should say, here this afternoon? Love to hear from you on the talk or text line at 319-366-1600. Yeah, Aaron, I keep seeing the clip, the troll cameraman who looked up, tilted the camera up, and then tilted back down for the flyout. Yeah, they're having a little fun with us. Did you see that? I don't want to get to baseball right away, but did you all see that? Was it Gwinnett and Springfield? Or no, Memphis. Get my Cardinals minor league affiliates mixed up. The batter for Memphis flew out to left and did like a home run trot around the bases, like pointing out to the outfield and all that stuff. I was just like, what? What is this guy doing? Did he realize he flew out to left, right? Like, sometimes, you're in the middle of it. And you just got to go. You got to finish it off. That's my humble opinion of what happened there. I'm sure the batter for Memphis will tell you the same. But 86-99, yeah. The cameraman was trolling us. It wanted to make everybody think it's like that it was gone. That was 61, but nope, it wasn't. It was a fly out to center field. 319-366-1600. Poll question at KGYMRadio.com has to do with the Hawkeye game tomorrow night. By the way, it is a sellout. There is a sellout crowd in Piscataway, a scarlet out per Greg Schiano's orders. And the total is still, what, 34, 33 and dropping in this game? Oh, boy, a sellout crowd for Puntapalooza tomorrow night. In Piscataway, New Jersey. Let me find the latest numbers here for you as we come to you from the Circus Sports Iowa studio. By the way, if I did not mention that before, across the board, Iowa now an 8-point favorite, it looks like. The total now down to 34. Pretty much every sports book you look at across the board here. So the total is low. Iowa is favored. So the poll question at KGYMRadio.com, how many points will be scored in the Iowa game at Rutgers tomorrow night? We got four options for you. We already have an early leader in the clubhouse. I'll tell you what that is in just a moment. Might not be what you think, but your options on the poll question, 27 or fewer, 28 to 31, 32 to 35, or more than 35. This is the total. What do you think the total will be? How many points will be scored in the game tomorrow night at Rutgers? The early leader is actually 28 to 31. So not too surprising, but that is the early leader. You could vote on the poll question, or you can let us know at the talk or text line at 319-366-1600. 4702 saying the total 23, 17 to 6. Iowa, so you're 27 or fewer, 4702. 4702 also cheering on the Baylor Bears on the text line. Cyclone fans, what do you think? Tough, going to be a tough one tomorrow. That is for sure. Baylor, not a slouch. They had the slip-up at BYU, but they are a darn good football team. We said we're going to learn a lot about Iowa State when they took on Iowa, and they won that game. How do they do against another tough defense? And a pretty solid offense, a better offense, I would say, than the Iowa offense. We'll see what happens in Jack Trice coming up tomorrow. More on that here momentarily. But I was looking at this Rutgers game. We talked all week about, you know, Rutgers being 3-0, a couple comeback wins. I'm going to fully remove the I'm not sure if I can do this legally, but when you look at Rutgers, I'm going to take out the win over Wagner. 66-7 because it's Wagner. I mean, no offense to Wagner. I'm sure the fan base is going to, you know, come in here with pitchforks and torches, the Wagner fan base here at in Eastern Iowa. But comeback wins over not so good BC team and a not so good Temple team. But as we've been saying, I say this all the time, we talk about Hawkeye football and they win ugly, and ugly win is better than a pretty loss. And for Rutgers, hey, you're 3-0. And looking for 4-0 and looking to pull the upset of Iowa with the home crowd in your favor coming up on Saturday night. I was reading through the info about that game against Temple. Second comeback road win of the year in that 16-14 win. Rutgers winning without scoring an offensive touchdown for the first time since 2004. Had to go all the way back when, and they beat Michigan State that day 19-14 in that contest. So they're able to do it too. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights are able to do it too. I think one of the keys to this game for sure is going to be quarterback play on both sides of the football. Obviously, Iowa has its own issues with the offense as a whole. But when you look at Rutgers, this is something we talked about in the Before the Boom podcast, which is available at KGYMRadio.com. Rutgers, if you look at their quarterback depth chart, three different guys listed. You have the dreaded "or" in capital letters next to two of the names. Noah Vedral, if you watch Big Ten football, you're probably familiar with him. Noah Vedral, the senior, transferred in from Nebraska a handful of years ago. He's missed the first three games due to injury. So it's going to come down to two guys, Evan Simon or Gavin Wimsett, two sophomores. Simon 6'3", 205, listed as on the depth chart. Wimsett 6'3", and 220. And last week was Simon's first career start at Temple. Career-high 10 completions and 151 passing yards against Wagner. Did throw two touchdown passes. Again, we're removing that game entirely, but made his first career start. It depends on, you know, who they're going to put out there. I think Iowa would be a little bit more worried with Vedrill out there, just considering he's got a little bit more experience. But considering the uncertainty at quarterback for Rutgers, this, I think, has an opportunity here, is an opportunity for Iowa to, especially on the defensive side of the ball, pin your ears back, try to force some turnovers, and maybe even get a defensive score, or, you know, God forbid, maybe two defensive scores against two guys that don't have a ton of playing experience. Vedrill, Greg Schiano was on WFAN in New York yesterday. I heard Todd and Alex talking about this too. It sounds like Vedrill, there's a very, very small chance he could play. It sounds like if he is going to play, it's going to be a game time decision, but it does not sound 100% certain that he could see the field at all this week. So expecting Simon or Wimsett or maybe even both for Rutgers. So I think that's the X factor in this game is, you know, you have one team with Iowa that, yeah, certainly has issues on the offensive side of the ball. They're well documented. You know, Spencer Petras is a lightning rod for criticism. So is Brian Ferentz. We have the issues in the offensive line that we've talked about. But there is some stability there at the same time. If you follow what I'm saying, you have Spencer Petras, who, despite the shortcomings he's had this season, he's still a starter with some experience as opposed to Wimsett and Simon for Rutgers. So an opportunity there, I think, if I was able to force some turnovers and, again, set up a short field for the Iowa offense, the Iowa defense setting up that short field, could see the total go over a little bit if certain things fall Iowa's way. The Iowa Rutgers defense playing pretty well this year. Again, not against the strongest competition, but they've made plays when they've needed to. And reading the press clippings and the quotes from what happened or from the media in New Jersey this week, they're ready for a good game and ready for the crowd to hopefully boost them up. Like I said, a sellout crowd. We talked about this yesterday. They're looking for their best crowd since before the pandemic, best home crowd for a Big Ten game since, you know, you look back to 2014. So this is some excitement that Rutgers has not seen in quite a while, and certainly give credit to their fans for coming out and supporting the team here this week against Iowa in the Big Ten opener. I think this is going to be a pretty low scoring game, and I'm on record with the Before the Boom podcast, and we'll be on record as well when we do the Emil's Hideaway Pick Six on the Gym Class. But I think it comes down to quarterback play. I think it comes down to the offensive line for Iowa. If you can get the running game going, protect Spencer Petras, whoever's out there playing quarterback for Iowa, able to move the football, set up some scoring opportunities. I think the offensive line plays a key role for Iowa against the Rutgers defense. And I think special teams, too. This is going to be a special teams game. Everybody's paying attention to, the punting matchup, rightfully so. You know, we joke about it. You know, we're like, oh, hey, punting. Hey, punting. How about that? Punting is winning. All the stuff like that with Torrey Taylor. But in all seriousness, these are two of the best in the game. And as we've seen the Iowa defense and special teams do, if you're the Iowa offense and you just got set up at your 1 yard line, you have to go the length of the field to score. Rutgers certainly could have an advantage there. So I think that alone, the talent that Adam Korsak, the punter for Rutgers, has displayed, the ability to pin opponents deep in their own territory, I think that could work in their favor. In the end, and I said this on the podcast too, I think it comes down to a defensive score. And I think Iowa gets a defensive score, and that's going to be the difference in the game. I'm on record with a 17-10 win. I just think Iowa has a little bit more on the defensive side. I think defense will set up a score or score themselves to get the Hawkeyes on the right side of the ledger. And as we talked about this yesterday, talked about it the day before on Wednesday, an important game for both teams considering who they have on the schedule coming up. I've said it numerous times, Iowa with Michigan next week, Rutgers has Ohio State. So both teams, will be wanting to be 1-0 in Big Ten play as opposed to 0-1 going into a game against some of the elite teams or one of the elite teams in both Michigan and Ohio State respectively in the conference. So I think that's what it comes down to. Like I said, 7 points victory for the Hawkeyes is what I have. That's all I really can say from this one. It's one of those games that, you know, you're going into a place, and we talked about this yesterday too. Only played in Piscataway once. You've only played Rutgers twice since they've joined the league. So going to have kind of a non-conference feel and a non-conference road game test. We know the Hawkeyes are ready for that against an improving Rutgers team. And in the end, I think they have slightly enough to get the job done compared to what Rutgers has. And that's at least my view of the game. Love to hear your thoughts. Had a few of you text in your thoughts. But if you got predictions straight up against the spread, your bets you're making this weekend for either the Hawkeyes, Cyclones, or whoever, love to hear from you at the Talker text line at 319-366-1600. We talked about the other games going on this weekend. Actually, the Big Ten slate got started last night. If you were watching Steelers-Browns, you probably forgot that there was a Big Ten game last night, at least a game involving a Big Ten team last night. And Illinois looked impressive. They're now 3-1. A little trouble last night with Chattanooga winning 31-0. In Champaign, Tommy DeVito looking pretty good, 329 passing yards and 3 scores. Chase Brown continues to have a fine season so far with 20 carries, 108 yards, and a score. Pat Bryant and Isaiah Williams both over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown each. The Illini just absolutely dominating the mocks last night, 502 to 142 total yardage. So that is, just pure domination last night. Scoreboard not, you know, a 55-3 win, but 31-0, enough to get it done against Chattanooga. Illinois, like I said, 3-1. That's their best start since 2015. And I don't know if they'd be favored in their next game, but it's going to be a close one. Illinois, especially the way their defense is playing, they play at Wisconsin next Saturday. Wisconsin taking on, of course, Ohio State in Columbus on Saturday night. I think Ohio State's going to win that one. It might be close for a little while. Wisconsin's defense is good. I'm just not sold on Graham Mertz. Can they ride Braylon Allen to a victory in Columbus? Sure, you know, if you keep the ball out of C.J. Stroud's hands. But I think Ohio State is just too good on both sides of the football to lose that one. Against the Badgers, but Illinois and Wisconsin next weekend to kick off the month of October, certainly going to be an intriguing matchup up at Camp Randall in Madison, especially if the Badgers are indeed coming off a loss with Illinois, some confidence at 3-1 to start the year. The other Big Ten games this weekend, Michigan and Maryland, Penn State and Central Michigan. Minnesota, going to learn about them this weekend, too, as they travel to Michigan State. Hoosiers of Indiana at Cincinnati, Northwestern. I saw they are only, a touchdown favorite against Miami of Ohio at home. And then Purdue. Purdue unveiling some new helmets. I don't know if you saw, if you're on Twitter, they revealed them earlier today. Purdue did. It features Purdue Pete on the side of the helmet. Not the P, not the, you know, the train, whatever they have on their side of their helmet, but a caricature of Purdue Pete on the side of the helmet, staring deeply into your soul, as Purdue Pete does. But they look snazzy. Credit to Purdue for coming up with a cool look for homecoming. They take on the Owls of Florida Atlantic. Iowa State taking on Baylor tomorrow. Cyclones Opening up Big 12 play again. 11 a.m. kickoff for that one, so an early start to the day over in Ames. Cyclones still a home favorite, opened at a one-point favorite. I think they were as high as a three-point favorite. Now it's down to about 2 to 2.5. The total there at 45.5 over in Ames. And the Cyclones looking to start Big 12 play at 1-0 with a victory there. Of course, we do have coverage tomorrow starting at 9. If you want to check out the game, you can hear it on all of our frequencies tomorrow, 9 a.m. with the pregame. John Walters and Eric Heft have the coverage for you at 9, kickoff at 11, and plus the full halftime and postgame reports as well. We've got that for you coming up tomorrow here on KGYM. Northern Iowa, I mentioned, at Western Illinois, the Missouri Valley Conference play resuming for the Panthers. Tough start to the year for UNI, a pretty solid 0-3. I don't know if you can be, overtly happy about that record, Panther fans. I know there's some of you who listen to the program. Your thoughts on UNI, 0-3 start with some quality competition, Air Force, the Fighting Hawks of North Dakota, and then a pretty solid Cal Poly team last week, or Sacramento State team last week. 0-3, not the greatest start, but I feel like there's still time to turn things around. And Western Illinois, hopefully the cure for what ails the Panthers this week down in Macomb, looking to right the ship there and get things back on track for hopefully a playoff berth for Coach Farley and the Panthers of the Missouri Valley Conference. That game tomorrow afternoon as well. Plenty of more football to get to. We'll get your reaction to Thursday Night Football coming up here in just a few moments here on this Friday afternoon. We appreciate you checking out the program, no matter where you're listening or how you're listening, on KGYM. And we'll take a quick time out back with some NFL talk. That's next here for you. Spencer on Sports on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have a gloomy and cool Friday. Showers and clouds will hold temperatures to the upper 50s today. We are going to have some periods of time where it dries out, but we could have a few more showers pass through as we head through this evening. Overnight, the clouds will remain and temperatures drop into the upper 40s. Tomorrow, the sun will come out and temperatures will climb into the mid 70s. We'll then have some cooler air moving in Sunday, dropping temperatures to around 70 with breezy conditions. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition, the comforting feel of your big cozy sweater, with a rich fragrance of secret recipe treats trailing from the oven. These are the things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertine and Stocker as a family business true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising, they still offer a layaway program. Just put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. That's tradition, too. During fall, as you enjoy crisp apples, warm candles, and begin your holiday shopping, stop and see what's shining in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Getting the most for your money can help you relax. With power checking from Midwest One Bank, you may earn higher interest and ATM fee refunds by simply receiving electronic statements, making at least 15 debit card purchases that post and clear, and making at least one direct deposit, automatic debit from a third party, or bill pay transaction post and clear each qualification cycle. See MidwestOne.bank for details. Enjoy simply better banking from Midwest One Bank. Member FDIC.
Elevate your swim game at Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's newest destination. Featuring the best pool amphitheater in history, Stadium Swim. 3 levels, 6 pools, and a 143-foot diagonal screen. It's 365 days of fun in the sun with all sports, all seasons. Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. Book the time of your life today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At 2:30 at Spencer on Sports, here on KGYM on a soggy and cold Friday. If it wasn't cold enough in the studio, it's certainly cold outside. 319-366-1600. It's remodeling season here at the International Broadcast Center. Got stuff lining the walls. We're doing... I think we've mentioned this before. Okay, in radio, you're told never let listeners too far behind the curtain. But we got upgrades going on. It's going to be fantastic in here once it's all done. We're hoping by the end of 2022. But our friends down the hall at Z102.9 have been displaced and... there's like stuff everywhere. Walking from the sports office down the hall is like running like a relay race, jumping over hurdles and passing batons to people. Okay, maybe it's not that extreme, but you know, it's a little bit challenging at times. It's only gonna get worse from here, from what I'm told. And then we're gonna get displaced. So won't that be fun? We'll still be on the air. Don't worry, but we're like gonna be moved down the hall to some strange new land with equipment that we're not quite sure how to use. So if you thought the show was already a train wreck, hey, look forward to mid-October. Just wait. 319-366-1600. 8699 channeling their inner Jim Mora and asking playoffs, when I mentioned you and I and the possibility of playoffs. I'm trying to give you Panther fans a little bit of positivity. Like I said, we're accentuating the positives on the show today. 8699 also saying, my poor Panthers. Strength of schedule is 69-36. You and I, strength of schedule number two. Yeah, that is for sure. When you look at playing Air Force, playing a North Dakota team that's receiving votes, so then playing the number seven team in the country last week and losing, you know, 37-21, but... still, I don't think you can get much tougher than that unless you're like Kent State. I know Kent State's FBS, but you know, you're playing like Georgia, Washington, and somebody else in like three consecutive weeks. Like, I mean, that's just insane, a non-conference schedule alone. The rest of the schedule for you and I, and this is the point I'm trying to make here. If you're Coach Farley and the Panthers, time to make some hay here. You got an opportunity. You got Western Illinois. Both the Leathernecks and the Panthers sitting at 0-3. So somebody's going to get off the schneid here tomorrow in Macomb. Indiana State at home on October 1st. A solid Illinois State team on October 8th. And then Utah Tech on the 15th. So an opportunity, if you could string four wins together, you're 4-3. That's pretty good. And then, well, the schedule gets tough again. You got Missouri State, who's been really good this year, almost beat Arkansas in Fayetteville. Solid Southern Illinois team. Of course, they beat Northwestern on the road. That game will be in Carbondale. The Jackrabbits love Iowa so much that they're, you know, coming to Cedar Falls. And they just need to add Des Moines and maybe Ames to their checklist this year, and they'd knock off all the major college teams in Iowa. But South Dakota State coming back to town, or coming back to Iowa on November 5th, and then finishing on the road against the Yotes, the Coyotes in Vermilion on the 19th for you and I. So an opportunity for Panthers to win some games here. If they could string some wins together, certainly could get back in the conversation. But got to do it before October 22nd, because that's when the schedule gets tough. If there's any good news, just I'm speaking in total generalities here, so apologies for, you know, I'm just saying the basics here, but the good news is you got Missouri State and South Dakota State at home. So you got maybe a little home field advantage there if you're you and I, as both those teams will be coming to Cedar Falls. But an 0-3 start, considering the opponents, not all that surprising. They could have won that North Dakota game. That might be one Panthers would like to have back. 319-366-1600. Let's get into the NFL from last night. Interesting game in Cleveland. Of course, the Browns well-documented, playing without Deshaun Watson. Pittsburgh with the quarterback struggles that they've had. Questions about whether we're going to see Kenny Pickett get his NFL debut here anytime soon. But in the end last night, Cleveland winning the game 29-17. Jacoby Brissett, a nice night, 21 of 31, 220 yards, two scores, and no interceptions. Nick Chubb doing Nick Chubb things, 113 yards on 23 carries and a score. Amari Cooper, seven passes caught for 101 yards and a score. David Njoku also with a touchdown for the Browns. Kevin Stefanski making some Browns history. Some good Browns history. I guess I shouldn't qualify that. He became the first Browns head coach to beat the Steelers three times since the franchise returned to Cleveland all the way back in 1999. Nick Chubb doing good things this year as well. He's got 341 total yards on the ground through three games, the most through that same amount of time since Jim Brown, or trailing only Jim Brown in the Browns record book. And Amari Cooper doing what he was expected to do, coming over from Dallas, the first Browns player with consecutive 100-yard receiving games since Josh Gordon did it in 2013. Shows you how bad the Browns receiving core has been if we're going back to Josh Gordon in 2013. On the Steelers side of things, Trubisky, 20 of 32, 207 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, did have a rushing touchdown on the night. Najee Harris with 15 carries for 56 yards and a score. And your leading receiver last night for Pittsburgh, Diontae Johnson, with eight catches for 84 yards for the former Toledo Rocket. Steelers now below 500 through three games for the third time in the last 4 years. And when you talk about the struggles Mitch Trubisky has had, he's averaging 5.5 yards per attempt this year. He is the fewest of any quarterback, or that is the fewest of any quarterback to start multiple games. The lowest average by a Steelers quarterback came back in 2006 when Ben Roethlisberger threw for 4.9 yards per attempt. Well, where did things go off the rails last night for Pittsburgh? Mitch Trubisky was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
I think a little bit of rhythm, and then we just didn't hit on the plays we needed to. We had some crucial plays in the second half that if we get those plays, it might have been a different story, and we just didn't hit on them. So I think there's a few more details in there that we'll have to go back and watch on the film, but that's kind of what it felt like in the second half. Just those plays we need to hit, we just didn't, and we got to go watch the film and see how we can get better.
Trubisky there, speaking of the question, you knew it was going to come up, considering the stat line we shared with you and considering the Kenny chance we heard in Pittsburgh last weekend, especially in that loss to New England. Is Mike Tomlin considering a quarterback change?
I'm not in that mindset. I'm interested in reviewing this tape and looking at the totality of it and figuring out how we collectively get better. So the answer to that question is definitively no.
Definitively no, Mike Tomlin says. So Steeler fans, at least right now, you are not getting Kenny Pickett with a quarterback change. But the Browns get the win. They win at home, and they beat the Steelers last night on Thursday Night Football. Looking at the weekend games ahead, you've got Houston and Chicago. The Bears looking to bounce back from the loss to Green Bay last weekend. The Bears, they've won six of their last seven games when favored at home. Houston, well, they're not much expected of them in 2022, but they're looking to avoid being winless in their first three games of the season for the sixth time in franchise history. They've actually lost 13 of their last 14 games versus non-divisional opponents. We'll see if the Bears can take care of business at home against a Houston team that has struggled this year and is sitting at 0-1-1 through 2 weeks. Of course, tied in week one and lost last week. Speaking of 0-2 teams, the Las Vegas Raiders visiting Tennessee this weekend. Both teams 0-2. The Raiders are looking to avoid starting 0-3 for the first time since 2018. Titans have to go all the way back to 0-9 since they started 0-3. So somebody is going to start 0-3. Somebody is going to pick up their first win in Tennessee this weekend. Kansas City and Indianapolis, noon game on CBS. Speaking of teams that are winless, the Colts 0-1-1. Of course, they tied the Texans in week one. They have not been winless through three games since 2011. You remember 2011? That's when Peyton Manning missed the entire year, ended up drafting Andrew Luck the following season, did Indianapolis. Colts only scored 20 points through two games. That's the fewest through two games since dating all the way back to 1997. Meanwhile, the Chiefs looking to go 3-0. Looking to start, I should say, 3-0 for the fifth time in the last 6 years. One of the highlight games of the weekend, Buffalo at Miami, the third ever meeting where both teams were 2-0 or better. Bills seeking a 3-0 start for the third time in 4 years. They've won seven straight versus the Dolphins, and it's their longest win streak ever versus the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, for as good as he's been especially this season, but in his brief NFL career, he's 0-3 versus the Bills, the only team he's lost to multiple times. In the NFC North, you've got the Lions and the Vikings this weekend in Minnesota. Pardon me. The Lions scoring a lot of points this season, and people make fun of Dan Campbell, but he can coach. I think he's got the Lions at least pointed somewhat in the right direction. Minnesota looking to avoid starting the year 1-2. Meanwhile, Detroit, they have scored 71 points this season. That is their most through two games since 2011. And the Lions looking to put up some points against Minnesota this weekend. The key for the Vikings, I was reading up on some trends from this game, Dalvin Cook. He might be one of the keys to the Vikings coming out on top. He's actually missed the Vikings' last three games against Detroit. When he's played versus them, he's been good. He's averaged over 105 yards a game and scored six touchdowns. So Vikings and Lions, that should be a fun little appetizer if you're able to pull in that one. If you got Red Zone on this weekend, you can check that one out. A couple other notable ones this weekend. The Bengals looking to avoid going 0-3, looking to become the first team, becoming the first team to start 0-3 after reaching the Super Bowl since the Rams in 2002. The thing for the Bengals, and if you're a Bengals fan, you just watch the games they've been involved in, the issue for them has been keeping Joe Burrow upright. He's been sacked 13 times through the Bengals' first two games. If he gets sacked, eight more times, he will have set a record, which dates back to David Carr back in 2005. Remember David Carr? Can't remember Derek Carr, but you can certainly remember David Carr. David Carr was sacked 20 times through three games back in 2005. The other highlight matchup of the weekend, if you're looking at the game in the afternoon, the America's Game of the Week that Fox is going to have, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady in Tampa. Packers and Buccaneers, the fifth career meeting between Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Brady is 3-1 against Aaron Rodgers. First meeting since I got to talk about it, don't I? The 2020 NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. Tampa looking to go 3-0 for the first time since 2005. Aaron Rodgers doesn't do so well versus Tampa. Career record of 2-4 versus Tampa Bay. 10 interceptions in six career games versus Tampa Bay. 8 of the 10 came at Raymond James Stadium. Guess where the Packers are playing this weekend against Tampa Bay? Oh, yeah, Raymond James Stadium. Can they reverse the curse of Raymond James Stadium? We'll see what happens on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers, 1-3 with 5 touchdowns and 8 picks at Raymond James Stadium. Your primetime game Sunday night, San Francisco and Denver. And then Monday night, the Cowboys and Cooper Rush going up against the New York Giants in New York. A couple news and notes from the injury front. You talk about the Bills-Dolphins game. Bills going to be without multiple defensive starters for the game against the Dolphins. Among the players out, Micah Hyde dealing with a neck injury. Dane Jackson, of course, had that scary injury in the game Monday night against Tennessee. Jordan Phillips out with a hamstring as well. Some starters dealing with some nagging ailments. So maybe the Dolphins able to find some footing against the Bills defense that is banged up. We'll see how that one plays out. And George Kittle, looks like he is getting closer to making his debut. In fact, looks like he will, in fact, be making his 2022 debut on Sunday. He missed the first two games of the year with a groin injury, but he returned to practice and has taken part in the team's first two workouts this week. Kyle Shanahan saying on KNBR Radio in San Francisco, he didn't guarantee anything, but he said, quote, "I'd be surprised if he doesn't play." So George Kittle might be on the receiving end of a couple passes from his buddy Jimmy G this weekend as they go up against Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. Got some baseball to talk about. We'll tell you what did or I guess didn't happen last night on the home run chase for Aaron Judge and Albert Pujols. Also, Iowa baseball team scored how many runs in their fall ball opener? We'll get to that and more coming up. Spencer on Sports here at KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Now's your chance to be a part of the Hawkeye tradition. Whether you're a runner or walker, Hawkeye fan or not, sign up for the Kickoff to Kinnick 5K September 24th. You'll have a great time while supporting Dance Marathon and the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
The bank here is now the bank here, here, and here. Fairfax State Savings Bank has a new third location in the heart of Kingston Village in Cedar Rapids. This new location, focused on commercial and private lending, demonstrates Fairfax State Savings Bank's dedication to growing alongside you in the corridor. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and now by appointment for commercial and private lending in Cedar Rapids at their new Kingston office, Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Just when it feels like smooth sailing, your IT person leaves and rocks your entire business boat.
Network overboard!
Now who's going to captain your IT ship? Network Computer Solutions. They're ready to hop on board and keep you on course. Whether you're a tiny rowboat or a giant ocean liner, Network Computer Solutions will keep your business cruising along with pricing options that won't make you feel anchored down. Network Computer Solutions is your IT safe harbor. Meet them now at ncsei.com.
CRST is looking for diesel truck mechanics in Cedar Rapids. Come help maintain their fleet of tractors and trailers. All skill levels are encouraged to apply. Even if you're not sure you meet the requirements, apply and try. CRST offers competitive starting wages and a comprehensive benefits package, plus 4-day work weeks, a boot allowance, uniform laundry services, and the latest shop tools and equipment. Apply to be a diesel truck mechanic now at crst.com/jobs or contact McCall Atwater at 319-440-1034.
Stop buying tickets without rewards and start getting more from the only ticketing company that rewards you for buying, Vivid Seats. Buy 10 tickets, the 11th is on us. That's like 10% back every time you buy. And with 100% buyer guarantee and over 100 million tickets sold, that's something to sing, laugh, cheer, scream, buy about. Head to VividSeats.com for terms and conditions. Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep the facility running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccup. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo, and Maria in Miami, Jules in Minneapolis, and Stan in Central Indiana, taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with experienced branch staff at over 250 locations so you get the product you're looking for. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back at 248, Spencer on Sports here on KGYM. 309-366-1600. Iowa and Rutgers coming up tomorrow night from Piscataway. And when we reconvene early next week, Kirk Ferentz and the players meet with the media Tuesday in Iowa City. We'll have all the latest Hawkeye updates for you here on KGYM. And with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, their Words with Ferentz every Tuesday between 4 and 6 p.m. And it's brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. Online at ncsei.com. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Talked a little football to start the program. Quick look at baseball as we look at what happened in the baseball world yesterday. Still waiting on history to be made by either or both Albert Pujols and Aaron Judge, both the teams in action, the Cardinals and the Yankees respectively. In action yesterday, St. Louis beating San Diego. Pujols 1-for-4 in the game. Did not hit a home run. Brendan Donovan, the hero, go-ahead grand slam in the seventh. So Pujols still at 698. And Aaron Judge, 0-for-2 with 3 walks and a strikeout. Yankees did clinch a playoff spot. They got a walk-off RBI single in the 10th from Josh Donaldson as they beat the Red Sox last night 5-4 in 10 innings. I mentioned both the Yankees-Red Sox game tonight, Rich Hill taking on Gerrit Cole, and the Cardinals-Dodgers game tonight as Jose Quintana goes against Andrew Heaney at 9:10 Central Time. Both games are on Apple TV Plus, so could be quite a boon for Apple TV Plus tonight as they have the opportunity to see Aaron Judge potentially get 61, maybe 62 tonight, depending on how the night goes for him. And the potential, obviously, would see if Pujols can hit 2 in the same game or even if he hits 1 tonight against L.A. out in L.A. at Dodger Stadium. Could have history made on Apple TV, just how we all expected it to go, as those teams will play tonight. Those two games are the featured games of the week on Apple TV, the Yankees-Red Sox and the Angels and the Cardinals, or the Dodgers and the Cardinals, pardon me. Wrong LA team on the brain here as we try to wrap up the show here this afternoon. Those teams will play again tomorrow and into Sunday, of course. ESPN hoping Aaron Judge can hold off because they have the Sunday Night Baseball matchup, which is, surprise, surprise, Yankees-Red Sox this Sunday night at 6 o'clock Central Time. Cubs a winner yesterday over Pittsburgh, 3-2. Cedar Rapids native Mitch Keller taking the loss for the Pirates. Went 6 innings, gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, struck out 7 in the loss. Cleveland continues their hot streak. They beat the White Sox 4-2 to improve their record since Labor Day to 15-3. Wonder how the Guardians are going to be winning this division. It's because they went 15-3 since Labor Day, and the Twins and White Sox just faded, especially the Twins, just faded into oblivion since Labor Day here, since early September. Brewers got 3 home runs from Colton Wong last night. They beat Cincinnati as they continue their wild card chase. Twins now losing 7 of 8. They lose to the Royals 4-1. Yesterday, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Mariners, and the Texas Rangers all winners yesterday in the world of Major League Baseball. And how about this? Rick Heller, Coach Rick Heller, and the Hawkeye baseball team starting up their fall ball down in Iowa City, playing some exhibition games. They won 32-1 over the Mississauga Tigers at Duane Banks Field in a 15-inning exhibition. The baseball pitching staff striking out 35 batters in the 32-1 win. 35 strikeouts, 32 runs. Michael Seager's 3-for-4 on the day. 8 Hawkeyes with multi-hit games in the contest, and Sam Honar going 4-for-4 with 2 singles, a double, and a home run for 3 RBI. Keaton Anthony with a grand slam as well for Iowa. Zach Volker with 4 strikeouts in an inning of work. Keaton Anthony, Luke Llewellyn, Cade Obermuller, Marcus Morgan, Jack Young, and Jack Whitlock, all tallying 3 strikeout innings in the fall ball opener for the Hawkeyes. Again, 32-1. Over Mississauga in 15 innings. If you want to check out fall ball, admission is free. University of Iowa Sports Information Office tells us next game is September 30th at 3 o'clock Central Time against Iowa Central. So if you want to see some fall ball for Coach Heller's squad, you can check that out on the 30th. 32 runs. That's where all the offense has been in Iowa City this fall. 2:53. Quick timeout, back to wrap it up after this.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell. Cordell & Cordell is a firm that practices family law exclusively. We focus on only one area of the law to maximize our strength and effectiveness as advocates for clients that have everything on the line. Their homes, retirement, savings, and most importantly, their children. We're the partner our clients count on. If we can be of help to you, give us a call.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Des Moines area attorneys. A partner men can count on. 515-518-ALL-ZEROS. CordellCordell.com.
The Cyclones are hungry this season.
Makes the catch. Another great cut. Inside the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown!
This week, the Baylor Bears come calling to Jack Trice Stadium.
Oh! Oh, my goodness.
Hear every game, rivalry, playoff, and bowl appearance. Right here on the Cyclone Radio Network. From Learfield.
It's Iowa State and Baylor. Coverage starts tomorrow morning at 9 on the gym. That's right, we got it for you tomorrow. Cyclone football tomorrow morning and afternoon. And we got the Wisconsin-Ohio State game from ESPN Radio starting at 6 tomorrow night. So check that out right here on KGYM. One last quick note for you. The Big 12 announcing the men's basketball schedule, including the Iowa State men's basketball schedule. Iowa State opening December 31st at home against the Baylor Bears. Some all other key home games, January 17th against Texas. Some eyes will be on that one for sure in Cyclone Country. Also going to see Kansas at home on February 4th, 4 and 11 a.m. start time. Cyclones looking to continue the strong run they had last year. Of course, getting to the Sweet 16 under Coach T.J. Otzelberger. Big 12 championship coming up March 8th through the 11th in Kansas City. Full details about that schedule, of course, on the Cyclones sports website. Gym class coming up. I'll be joining the guys coming up about 3:40 for the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6. Their chance for a listener out there to possibly win a gift card to Eagles Hideaway in Cedar Rapids. So that for you on the gym class today. Full show with Todd and Alex as well between 4 and 6. Jared Stansbury from Cyclone Fanatic joining the guys at 5. And Kennington Smith from the Des Moines Register at 5:30 previewing the Hawkeyes and Scarlet Knights from Piscataway. Poll question at KGYMradio.com. How many points will be scored in the Iowa game at Rutgers tomorrow night? You could weigh in with how many points you think will be scored there. And if you missed anything from this show, or if you have not checked out the Before the Boom podcast, we invite you to check that out at KGYMradio.com. It's available now for you to listen to. Have a great weekend. Back here Monday at 2 on the gym.